one among you is your teacher. St. Augustine would come to know the truth of these words, but like most of us, he would have to come to know the truth of these words the hard way. And so we reflect on the life of this great doctor of the church. He was born of a pagan father and a Christian mother who reared him in the Christian faith, but he decided at the age of 15 to go about and sow his oats. And so he would live in sin for nearly 15 years, and he would sum up that period of his life contrary to what many believe. There is even an attempt amongst the modernist thinkers in the church today to describe somehow St. Augustine's life as a sinner, as if he was not really too bad of a person, and indeed he may have been a noble man as he lived in sin. But St. Augustine refutes that error himself, for he tells us in his Confessions, indeed, if any of those who would interpret his life in this manner have ever read them, he said that he summed up this period of his life in this blasphemous statement, God, give me chastity and continence, but just not now. And so it was that St. Augustine would live that life of a sinner with no hope of salvation except for one extraordinary fact, his mother, St. Monica. And perhaps we learned the most extraordinary lesson in the life of her son by the life of the mother, for she truly came to be transubstantiated into the Immaculate. That is, she truly imitated the Immaculate, because the object of her prayers was the very objects of the prayers of the Mother of God. She sought that the Messiah would come to her son lost in sin. And so it was from the first moment of her conception, the Blessed Mother of God prayed for the Messiah to come into the world to deliver us from our sin. And so Saint Monica, because of her perfect imitation of the Mother of God, would exact that divine revenge, which is the conversion of souls, that is, the conversion of her son, and she would also win on his deathbed the conversion of her husband from his paganism. And so from that point forward, St. Augustine would burn himself out in love of God. Indeed, there is often a debate among theologians as to who loves God more, the one who has never separated from his love or the sinner who returns to him, like St. Mary Magdalene and like St. Augustine. I think St. Augustine gives us the key to the answer, for he seems to indicate it is certainly better to love God always than to have to come to love him late, as he says, as he said in his statement, late have I loved thee. And so let us turn to this most extraordinary doctor and father of the church, for he has much to teach us in the way of love of God. He tells us very clearly that our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And so he came to know that we can experience a bit of that rest in this life by the sacramental life that we receive. But ultimately, that rest will not come until we have safely journeyed through this veil of tears and attained that union with God that this blessed doctor now has. And so he came to teach us the most extraordinary facts. He tells us that we must understand that God is a physician and that suffering is a medicine for salvation, not a punishment for damnation. And so he came to learn the very value of suffering, the very value of sacrifice that he spent a good part of his years trying to escape. He said that all must flow from love of God, and because of every action that flows of love of God, he tells us that God bestows more consideration on the purity of our intention with which we perform our actions than on the very actions themselves performed. And so we learn a most extraordinary fact of God's mercy, that he is concerned most especially with our good intentions, not whether we complete the work or whether we complete it perfectly. Insofar as we give our best effort, he will reward it because of our intention. And so St. Augustine would acquire a most pure intention, and all he would do for Jesus Christ, because he came to know that that insignificant man, as the Jewish people would perceive him who came from Nazareth, was the most significant of all men. For he who appeared to come out of an insignificant town was indeed not only the creator of that town, but the creator of the whole universe. And so St. Augustine would spend the remainder of his life trying to return everything to its creator, sanctifying the use of every possible thing. And so he would tell us that God does not need money, but that the poor do. And so in giving our alms to the poor, he said, God receives that money on that behalf. And so let us strive like him to return everything to the Savior, because what we give him, that is our sinfulness, we receive much more in return, for we receive his very life, and ultimately we receive that union with him for which our hearts long. And so let us particularly this day perhaps ask that the mother, Saint Monica, pray to us that we too may receive the conversion of her son and become true lovers of the Lord, because we have come to imitate Saint Monica. And so by our prayers too, we seek to preserve the life of grace in our souls, and to bring Christ, who is dead in all those souls separated him from by mortal sin, to that life of blessedness in this world, and ultimately that union with God in the world to come.